I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, hello there. This is another episode of the Dan Wootton Interview. Today, I'm sitting down with one quarter of the biggest boy band of this millennium. Believe it or not, he's sold more than 50 million records, toured the world before returning to the X Factor in the UK, where he first found fame, but this time as a judge. Now he's back as a solo star, so I know you guessed it, especially all you One Direction fans tuning in. It's Louis Tomlinson. Yes, 3 years after One Direction split, I'll be talking to Louis about his emotional new single called Two of Us, which was inspired by his late mum, Joanna, and also how he coped and how he's coping still with the grief from her loss. We're also going to talk about his life as a dad, all those ridiculous Larry conspiracy theories, his time on The X Factor, is he going to stay on the show, and so much more, including some bombshell revelations about his relationship now with Zayn Malik and the other members of One Direction. Of course, he's also going to be taking on Shuffle, Delete, Repeat. And also, you'll like this one, 1D fans, telling me the 1D songs that mean the most to him in a special edition of The Five. Now, before we get started, do remember to subscribe right now to this podcast, because that means you can listen to any of my interviews with massive stars as soon as they become available. So if you're a 1D fan, you can listen back to my previous interviews with Niall Horan and Liam Payne, who have both already been on the podcast. But first of all, now it's time to get in-depth and personal. Here's Louis Tomlinson. Louis, you're in my pod.
Yeah, here we are.
I mean, we've spoken so many times over the years, but never on my podcast. So thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
We get to go deep here, Louis.
Okay.
Up close, personal.
Okay.
Emotional. So I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, cool.
But you are always...
Let's dive in.
You're always a very honest interview, aren't you?
I hope so. Yeah, I try and wear my heart on my sleeve. Yeah.
Speaking of wearing your heart on your sleeve, you have put it all out there on your new single.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very emotional song, very emotional lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
How difficult was that for you to make the decision that you were going to talk about something so personal in song?
Do you know what? It happened really organically, because obviously as a songwriter, I've been conscious of writing the song, and if it was just for me or if it was to release or whatever, but I was conscious that I wanted to get this off my chest. But I wasn't quite ready in where I'm at with my grief, really, to say it straight away, to write that song, because to be honest, I want it to be like 2, 3, 4 more years into my songwriting experience, because there's so much responsibility on a song like that. And I was lucky enough to be in a session with a few guys who played me the first verse and the chorus of Two of Us, which was slightly different then. And it just, it was an amazing moment, because I wasn't ready to write that song and it felt like it just came to me at the right time and in that moment. So we changed some stuff in the chorus and then we went on to write the rest of the song. And it was something that at the end I'm really proud of being able to say. And when I've rehearsed it and, you know, rehearsed and performed it, I feel really proud singing those words, actually. And I believe it. So it's actually been really good for me as well. And one thing that I had in mind when we were writing it lyrically is, I've mentioned this a few times in a few interviews, but when I did the Steve song, Just Hold On, Steve Aoki song, those lyrics are kind of similar, you know, it's a similar concept. And I got loads of really amazing messages on social media, not from like your average stereotypical fan and people, you know, like also like older people saying like, I was also going through a hard time and you helped me or whatever. And I've never really been in that situation before with One Direction, to have someone like emotionally invested in a different way like that. So that felt really cool. So I kind of hope that, you know, I know it sounds cliche, but if someone can listen to it and feel a bit better about what they're going through, that would be wicked, definitely.
Well, it is a beautiful song. The lyrics are beautiful. And I guess it's something that so many of us has
have felt when we lose someone so close to us. Mm. And you think actually you wish you could have been the one that was able to take away their pain and go through it instead of them.
Yeah, I think definitely. I think like anyone in those in that situation, that is your first thought. Actually, it is your first thought, and it was a message, that specific message that I know is hard hitting, but it's also, I think, a universal feeling through grief.
Mm. And your mum was your number one supporter.
Big time, big time.
So to not have her here these last couple of years when you're achieving, doing different things, going through personal milestones, it's not something I imagine that you ever really get used to.
No, but as much as I can, I am getting a little bit more used to it.
Because you have to.
Because I have to, but also I'm lucky in a way that because I'm the oldest, there's a lot of responsibility that falls on my head. And that's kept me driven. That's kept me determined, really. And it's that's helped with going through all that stuff, I think, is, you know, being there for my family, really. But it was difficult at first, man, because, like, any time I had a dilemma, you know, work or personal, I would call her first. So I had to learn how to deal with those things, not on my own, but find, you know, different things in other people that I got from my mom. So it definitely was difficult at first. But like I say, I think the responsibility, actually, and that I have for other people, it helps me. It helps me. And also, like, I've found a way of using it as a positive, as crazy as that sounds, because, like, when I did The X Factor, she loved The X Factor. We grew up watching it as a family. So I knew, like, that's a decision that she would have been really excited about. You know, I did the music video for Two of Us yesterday, and I played the opening verse on piano. She wanted me to play piano. So, like, all these little things, they motivate me big time to be like, okay, I got to do this.
Because she would have been proud.
Definitely, definitely. And sometimes, you know, like anyone, I get nervous in this job, but that it actually helps me that. You know, it's like, okay, I'm determined that I'll do it for us, really.
And grief is obviously something that goes through a lot of different stages and doesn't just go away. Have you sought any professional help, any grief counselling, anything like that?
No, I haven't. And I'm not, well, I don't know. Never say never. But I feel like I have quite a realistic mind, and so I kind of know what I come up against, you know, day to day. And I also feel like I have a good way of dealing with that. And I'm lucky to have really, really good people around me. Family are amazing. I've got great friends. My girlfriend's amazing. You know, my boy's amazing. So I've got so many people around me to make me constantly feel good and responsible that keeps me going, definitely.
And obviously you did get back with your girlfriend, Eleanor, quite soon after your mum died.
Yeah.
And I wonder if she was an important part of you being able to have a bit of, I guess, solidity in a difficult time.
Vital, yeah. She was and has continued to be absolutely vital to me, you know. We got to see my mum as well together before she passed. That was really special, really special. I love her to bits, man. And you know, when you're going through the most devastating time, you need people around you that you love and hopefully love you, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's a nice feeling, man, to find her again, so to speak.
Well, I was reading something the other day, actually, about couples that break up for a period and come back together are often the strongest. And there's some examples like Prince William and Kate Middleton.
Oh, wow, yeah, okay.
Rochelle and Marvin Hughes.
Right, yeah,
had
yeah.
a bit of a split and then got back together. Right. So, Louis, do you think she is the one? Is this someone who you would like to marry, that you would like to settle down with?
Well, before you get carried away with all the latter, I do think she's the one. Yeah, I do. Yeah, she's amazing for me. And also, I think, you know, when you go through quite a hard time together, that gives you a different, it almost levels up the relationship. You know, it's deeper than it was before. So I'm very lucky, man. Very lucky. She's top girl.
So, Louis, each week I ask my guests about five songs that mean something very special to them. And so, for you, like with Emma Bunton last week, we obviously did the Spice Five. Mm-hmm. So with you, Louis, it is the 1D5 special.
Okay, nice.
So this is going to be quite tough. You've got to choose between 5 1D songs and explain why that song means so much to you.
Story of My Life is the first choice. I loved the video. It was a really lovely video. We got all our families involved for the video. But it was also, it felt like a moment of a bit more credibility for the band. And I thought that sound was really, really cool. So loved that song. And we had some amazing memories performing that. Like when we first did, when we first performed it, we did it a cappella over in Tokyo. Mm. And that was amazing. That was amazing. So that one's very, very special. The story of my life, I give her love. I spend her love until she's broken. Next one will have to be, it was an album track called No Control. Mm. And the fans kind of, they were amazing during that time. They're always amazing, as you know. And they kind of had a little campaign that they wanted to really push this album track, and I was singing the chorus on it. And that felt like a bit of a breakthrough for me as a vocalist. So that was always amazing too. I felt proud performing that on tour. I'm all yours, I got no control, no control. And I don't care, it's obvious. I just can't get enough of you. The battle's down, my eyes are closed. No control. Song three. Song three, I'm going to say, was another album track called, off the most recent album, called Love You Goodbye.
That's my favourite 1D song.
Really? Yep. Oh, thanks, man. Thanks.
That song.
I really love that song, and it was always really fun to perform live. And there was something like the middle eights, quite challenging vocally. So again, yeah. I felt proud performing that live, and I wrote on that song. Yeah. If tomorrow you won't be mine, won't you give it to me one last sign? Oh, baby, let me love you goodbye. I probably have to mention History. Yeah. You know, that was emotional, but really, really amazing song. And I think in terms of sentiment, it was put really beautifully, you know, between the relationship between us and the fans and us and each other. So I think that was really lovely. Then the fifth.
Your fifth choice in the 1D5.
I normally have to go into at least Midnight Memories. That's when I really started loving the sound. Third album. Right. Oh, I'm going to say there's a song on Midnight Memories called Little Black Dress. And it sounds cool on the track, but it always sounded so fun when we performed it live. And it was something that, you know, it's heavily guitar driven, felt like a really cool song for us at the time. So there's me five.
And obviously you have your son, who's another big part of your life.
Little
as
legend
you mentioned.
Now, you know. Yeah. Yeah.
So how old is he now?
He's three. Yeah, he's proper. Honestly, he's such a little legend. He's such a little legend.
So that must have been another big focus for you over the past few years, because you are a dad now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there is a responsibility that you have for him.
Of course. And I've said it before, and look, it hasn't equipped me fully, obviously, but I do think I was lucky in the fact that I grew up with a big family, and I'm the oldest, so there was always responsibility on me with the kids as they were growing up. And honestly, I'd probably changed 1,000 nappies before I'd even had Freddie. So there were just, you know, there was just little things that I suppose I was a little bit more prepared for. And also, I'm lucky. He's so well behaved, such a good little boy, and he's got a little mischievous streak in him.
Well, he would have to with a dad like you, Louis.
Yeah, so he's great, man. He's great.
Now, you know, on this podcast, I'm always about clearing up rumours. And with you more than ever, Louis,
go on, what you got
there
for
are
me?
Crazy internet conspiracy theories that haunt you. But one which I think is sort of the weirdest of any that I have ever read, right, is that your son there is genuinely a group of people that believe he is a doll that was set up to distract from something called Larry Stylinson. So you must see this.
Yeah. I tell you what, I don't see it as much these days. In the last, like, 2 years, to be honest, or 3 years, I haven't seen it as much.
But, I mean, does that offend you? Does it make you laugh? Does it make you angry?
It kind of did not offend me, but I thought it was disrespectful, you know, to Freddie. And also, you know, they've often speculated about Eleanor as well. So sometimes at first it came across disrespectful, but in the end, it's just like, it's so far-fetched that it's just like, I don't even really know what to say about it. You know what I mean? It's just like, if you believe that, I think, yeah, it's a little bit worrying. It makes me question other conspiracies that I've bought into in the past. You know what I mean? I'm like, well, enough, they're all like this.
What, do you not think we walked on the moon?
Well, no, I know for a fact we did. Well, I think we did anyway.
What are your favourite conspiracy theories?
Well, that's a good question. Probably not. I can say on the podcast. Yeah, they're all quite deep. But I do like watching some, like, to be fair. Did you see that is it Fire Festival documentary?
Oh, amazing.
Crazy, wasn't it? I would love to have met that guy and just told him he was great and told him to, yeah, he is crazy. What,
the Evian Water man?
The complete lunatic. The main guy.
Oh, the guy who organised it.
The complete lunatic.
Well, he's in jail now.
Lunatic. It's insane.
See, social media can be dangerous, though, can't it? That is what that shows.
Yeah,
it's like,
hopefully,
you guys were the first band that were essentially propelled to international superstardom thanks to social media.
Yeah.
So obviously you've got so much to thank for it. Mm. But I feel like, Louis, I don't know if you agree, back in those days there was a real positivity around a lot of what came out of it. Mm-hmm. And I think the dark side of social media these days, the suicides connected to it, the bullying connected to it, the mad conspiracy theories, is a real worry.
Definitely. And, you know, it's a funny relationship, I suppose. We all have, you know, the lads out of One Direction with social media because, yeah, we have so much of our career to thank to it. And also, you know, I never had a platform like that when I was younger to potentially, you know, as a fan have a voice. So, it, you know, there is so much good in it, but you do see a lot of dark. You do see a lot of dark. And I think everyone should be conscious of just how much they're on the social medias. Because, yeah, I mean, you know, it shows, I mean, Instagram for a start, it shows a very, very idealistic view. And you know, you see that every day, an hour of many hours a day. Just got to be careful, I think. Got to be careful. We've got to remember social media is relatively new. You know what I mean? We don't really know what it's capable of on both ends of the spectrum.
No, I think a lot of those after effects are only coming out now. But personally, I believe that these companies have a responsibility to protect kids because it's all well and good when we're adults. But when you're talking about your young fans who might be...
Of course.
In their teenage years or still at school.
Absolutely. There's a massive, massive responsibility because people trust these platforms, of course, and they trust the people on them, you know. I think there's a massive, but you know, it's forever getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So,
but you still engage. I mean, it was on this podcast where Ed Sheeran told me that he had quit Twitter because he said that he was getting so much negativity that he would walk into a room of people, Louis, and genuinely think that everyone hated him. Okay. So he decided to move all of his social to Instagram, but you still remain committed.
Absolutely, because like as I said before, there's still so much good and it gives the fan the voice and I wouldn't want to take that away from them. You know, it's Twitter's, you know, Twitter, for example, I could just be sat in the car on the way here and I could answer 10, 15 people's questions. And that's the positive side of it, you know. We have, and I do think that my relationship with the fans is bettered through social media. It's just everyone's got to keep an eye on it.
Shuffle, delete, repeat.
So Louis, now it's when you have to choose between your own songs in shuffle, delete, repeat. This can be really hard for some people.
Okay.
So your three options are... Just Hold On from 2016. This was your collaboration with Steve Aoki, reached number 2 in the charts. Is it all comes on? Darling, just hold on. Back to You from 2017 with Bebe Rexha, of course, reached number 8 in the UK charts.
I
And then your most recent single until this week, Miss You, from 2017. And it couldn't get better, they say. We sing into last call, and it's all out of tune. Should be laughing, but there's something more. And it hits me when the light's gone. Maybe I miss you. So, Louis, three big songs for you. Which would you shuffle, which would you delete, and which would you repeat?
Isn't a shuffle not the same as delete, kind of?
Shuffle means you'll come back to it.
Okay, fine.
You'll come back to it soon.
Okay, so... Well, this is tough. This is tough because there's different reasons for others. Yeah. Miss You didn't do as well commercially. I thought that it might go down a bit better, but it didn't go down so well. But I always really loved the song, actually, and I really enjoyed doing the video. Right, I'm just going to dive into this. Let's shuffle Miss You. Oh, this is hard now, though. Okay, let's repeat Just Hold On, because I've rearranged it with the band recently, and we've made it more bandy, and it's actually pretty cool. And unfortunately, it feels like I might delete Back to You.
Sorry, BB.
BB's amazing. The video was in Doncaster. It's so hard to choose between those songs, really. But sonically, it always felt like a feature to me.
Yeah.
Because it's a slightly different sound to what I'm used to.
Yeah.
Which was great experience. And you know, BB's amazing. She's a star. She is. But yeah, unfortunately, I have to delete that one.
And now, Louis, you're going to have to do it with One Direction's biggest hits,
ooh,
or some of them, because obviously there were so many. So the three
This might be a bit easy, actually.
Okay.
I hope so.
So the three that I've chosen for you. What Makes You Beautiful from 2011, the debut single, went straight to number one, quadruple platinum in the US, that song. Their best song ever from 2013. That was from the third studio album, Midnight Memories. It also won Best Music Video at the Brits in 2014. Last choice, History, from 2015. That also went platinum in the US. So three massive One Direction songs.
Love all
songs
behind there, Dan. Yeah, I love that. that's that. Oh, okay. Right. What's difficult is What Makes You Beautiful was our first single. I think a lot of people feel the same way about the first thing they ever released, is you have a very weird relationship with that song because it propelled us, absolutely. But I'm not going to lie, on the last few tours and when we were singing it, that was the one that felt the least like us by the end. It's painful, but I'm gonna delete.
It's gone.
What Makes You Beautiful?
It's gone.
Yeah, okay, fine.
So then what would you repeat out of Best Song Ever or History?
Right, so that's a bit of a no-brainer for me. I'd repeat History. Love the song, love the video. Like I say, it's a lovely sentiment and a good way for us to go on the break. So that means I'm shuffling.
Best Song Ever.
Best Song Ever. Best Song
Not
Ever.
Not your best song ever today.
Nah, I don't think so. It was a good song. It was a good song, but I prefer History.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Also, your fans are very loyal.
Very loyal, as I know, sometimes to a fault. Yeah,
because I've been on the receiving end. But on
they'll
the,
come for you. Oh, they do.
But on the positive side, that helped you do an incredible first series on The X Factor.
Yeah, so thank you.
You were signed as a judge alongside these massive names. So you've got Simon Cowell.
A bit older than me.
Your boss. A little bit older, yeah. And Robbie Williams. I mean, come on, like one of the biggest legends in pop. But you beat them. Both in the first year, and Ida Field, of course, Robbie's wife, who was also a judge. What was that experience like for you, returning to the show that made you as a boss, as a judge?
It was a roller coaster of emotions, but it was I'm so thankful I did it. It was so and for the opportunity. It was such an amazing experience for me because it's something I've always been interested in development. So you know. Giving advice to the lads at the start of the careers and helping picking songs and getting involved with the creative, that side of it was so exciting and to be a part of that. And at first that responsibility kind of scared me a little bit because it is their careers. But in the end, I really, really enjoyed it. And I also think that I think I showed a different side to me that I kind of, it's difficult to show in my day to day really.
Well, you used to have a reputation as being a real bad boy, didn't you?
Yeah, maybe because you wrote about it a little bit too much.
And I guess you got to see the softer side. Obviously, there were ups and downs. When you're ever in a big boy band like that, of course there are going to be moments, aren't there, where
but also,
you trip up.
Yeah.
And you're tripping up in front of the world. That is the difference.
There's a responsibility at both ends to be good and also to be a little bit bad, a little bit mischievous in times. Definitely.
That's what we want from our rock stars.
Hopefully, definitely.
But obviously, on The X Factor, there was this great story with Dalton, who you won with. But actually, I think probably the story that captured the most hearts was this guy, Anthony Russell, who was the runner-up, one of the runners-up. But you had incredibly actually paid for this guy to go through rehab when he had auditioned the year before. And you weren't even a judge then.
No.
You'd just seen his story. Now, sadly, there have been some reports over the past couple of weeks, Louis, that he has relapsed and has actually been kicked off the X Factor tour now because drugs were found in his room. That must have been pretty devastating for you, given the point that you'd got him to.
Look, this is. It feels like it's not my place to talk about this. It feels like, you know, it's for Anthony to say. But what I will say is, I've over the last, you know, however long I've known Anthony, I've learned a little bit or quite a bit about addiction, and it's a horrible thing. It's very, very, very tough. And all I'll say is, you know, that I saw plenty of times of a real determination from him to get clean. But like so many people, it's a struggle. It's a day in, day out struggle. So, look, I'm still in contact with him. I'll still guide him and help him. It's sad. It's sad, you know. It's difficult, though. It's difficult.
And addiction is not simple, as
absolutely
you say.
Not. Absolutely no. No, it's not. But it's something I've tried to educate myself in a little bit more since getting to know Anthony. And,
it's about trying to view it a bit more like an illness, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And also, yeah, just having, just kind of losing the judgment a little bit, which I think is hard at first. But,
In other X Factor news, Louis, Simon Cowell has revealed that he is planning this massive shake-up of the show this year, and it's actually no longer going to be members of the public who are performing, but rather celebrities and former contestants. And I just wondered if that was something that maybe you wouldn't be as committed to, because the reason that you went on the show was obviously to mentor these young acts in the same way that you were.
You ask a good question, Look, I haven't read, to be honest, since the show, I haven't even spoken to Simon, to be honest. We've just kind of given each other some space because we've seen each other every single day. And he spent a lot of time talking about some real old things. He's king of the dad gag, you know. He's king of it, king of it. But to be honest, I don't really know what the tail end of my year looks like anyway. But personally, I think it's about the public. You know what I mean? I think it should be about the public. But anyway.
So if it was going to be celebrities and all stars, which he has publicly said it would be, does that mean that you wouldn't want to go back?
I don't know. Honestly, the most important thing, and I thank the show and Simon and everyone for my opportunity last year. It was incredible. Like I say, I had really, really amazing time. But my priority this year is to get the album out at the end of this year, because I'm conscious that my fans have been waiting a long time. They're
so
it might clash. So it might clash. It might clash.
And also, in some ways, how cool to go in and win. In your first year.
Yeah.
I'm off, guys.
Yeah, that is kind of tempted, yeah.
Will One Direction reform to compete in X Factor All Stars?
I can only imagine calling Harry, Niall, Liam now. Lads, I've had an idea. I can't see it happening. Never say never. As a general... What I want to say is, since I've been out the band and looking back, because there were so many things that happened, obviously, in a short period of time, was really hard to get a gauge on just how incredible, and if I can say this, just how massive it was, and the influence, and dare I say, the importance to some of our fans, you know. And that's crazy looking back on that, you know. And to me, you know, whenever it comes round, it's a bit of a no-brainer that we're going to get back together, just maybe not on All Stars X Factor.
But one day you
will. One day.
Firsts. Your first concert.
I wish this was cooler. Busted.
That's very cool.
Yeah, well, I was 11. Yeah.
First album you bought.
That's it. Ooh. Oh, I think it was American Idiot, Green Day. That's cool.
That's very cool. Great album. First person you talk to today?
Well, it'd probably be my girlfriend, Eleanor.
First thing you do in the morning?
first thing that came to my head was a morning poo.
First celebrity crush?
This is quite easy, actually. The Pink Power Ranger when I was growing up, she was... very pretty woman.
And the first kiss you had?
Oh, wow. What, are we looking for a name here?
You choose.
I don't forget, I grew up in Doncaster, so I was maybe a little bit younger than the average. But yeah, I remember where it was. It was, it sounds horrible. Yeah, it was in a phone box, actually. Yeah, yeah, sounds proper chaffy.
Love it. How old were you? Seven.
I don't know. I think I was like maybe 10 or 11.
And now last. So what was the last album you loved?
Well, I feel like, I loved the most recent Liam Gallagher album.
Last text message you received?
Let's have a look. This could be dangerous though.
You've got to read it no matter what it is, Louis.
Oh, it's boring. It's worky.
Go on.
It's about having a pop emergency on Radio 1, so I'm buzzing about that.
That's very cool. That is very cool. The last time you used public transport?
I want a good answer here, but I can't remember. When I'm in LA, every now and then I do take Uber. Look at me thinking I sound...
Is Uber public transport? I think that's very private transport, unless you're in an Uber pool.
Okay. Well, that's exactly what it was. It was an Uber pool. Thanks for saving me there, Dan.
Yeah.
Oh, so we're talking tube or bus?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not private jet.
There's a big difference between a private jet and an Uber. That will have been a while ago. That will have been a while ago. I wish I had a better answer for that.
Last time you spoke to another member of One Direction?
Oh, this is a good one. Yesterday, I was texting Niall.
Last wedding you attended?
It was my auntie Rachel's, actually. Yeah, my mum's sister. So that was about a year ago.
The last person you spoke to on the phone?
Well, it'll probably be my manager saying, I hope everything's in order for tomorrow.
Hope you're on time.
Yeah, exactly.
Which you were.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
I have to ask the Zane question because the last time we spoke...
Oh, you got into the pressy section.
Well, the reason I have to ask is because last time we spoke, Louis, which was just after your mum's death, you spoke to me and it was very sweet about how your mum had sorted this reconciliation out between the two of you because you were best friends for a period when you were in the band. And since then, Zane released a track called Good Years, which was described as a 1D diss track. And you said you were proper confused and you called him a hypocrite.
You bang on everything, aren't you?
So I just wondered, has the relationship soured again?
Truthfully, it never really got better, to be honest. It never really got better. I had a couple of calls with him after I lost my mum. And, you know, all the boys had agreed to come to that performance, you know. And he didn't show, so it bugged that really bugged me. You know, the performance I did with Steve at the X Factor, and everyone showed. You know, it was a moment of, I got goosebumps now. It was like just seeing everyone there, Harry, Niall, and Liam. That was what I needed that night, that support. So on the other end of the spectrum, it kind of really showed. So hey, I hope he's all right. But
and was that a sign to you that he wasn't going to be part of 1D's future? Because some people do hope that one day all five of you would get back together?
I mean, that's a more difficult question than are we going to get back together one day? Because I would say with all certainty that we are. Now, as a five, it's a different question and it's a hard question to answer because where I'm at now, with what I feel like I need to be a little bit more mature before I can make a realistic decision on that.
Quickly on the other members, Liam Payne, obviously split from Cheryl, who said
you've
on
got
the
all
X Factor last year.
Now.
Well, she said
Here
last
he
year.
Is.
She said last year that she had fallen for you.
Oh yeah, come on.
And some people are thinking, what did that mean?
I mean, I'm sure she just thought I did all right on the show, but press will write what they want.
And he's obviously with Naomi Campbell now.
Do you know what? I haven't spoke to him about this, and I'm sure you wish I had, but I haven't actually spoke to him about this. Liam, I've not spoke to for a couple of months. I saw him quite a bit at the tail end of last year. But listen, I will be pressing him, asking what's going on.
Well,
for
he's
sure.
doing well.
I'm as intrigued as you.
He's doing very well.
Yeah.
And then Harry Styles, someone who maybe you don't see as often, and there was some talk that he was loving life a lot outside the band and had less intention of getting back together. That was reported anyway because I think 1D's touring company or something was closed. Yeah. So what?
Which means nothing, by the way, the touring company closing.
Because I guess you're not touring anymore. That's
no,
just
exactly,
the reality.
Exactly. You know, and when we needed to, we would...
You could open a new
exactly,
one.
Exactly, exactly.
What's your relationship like with Harry these days? Because you did say that you saw him less than the others.
One of real respect, honestly, and I mean that from all my heart. One of real respect, definitely. And some of my frustrations with like radio and where radio's at in terms of sound, and you know, it's very heavily influenced with all these urban sounds. It was really cool to watch him go out and just own that record.
Yeah.
You know, definitely. So it's one of real respect. Look, the reality, the situation is, there's always going to be better relationships in the band, and you're going to gravitate to other people more. But I feel like, and kind of what I was saying before about need to get older and more mature, I feel like with that relationship there, I think there's a real mutual respect. Definitely. But I think, we spent a lot of time together, so we had to kind of graduate to that in maturity, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Mm. And can you put any time scale on when you think you might all do something together again?
I can't. I'd love to. But honestly, I'll be first name on team sheet. I'll be signing it straight away, I tell you. Because the amount of times I get asked this question, the amount of times that you see things online... I'm not going to say it guilts you, but it feel like we've got a responsibility actually to come back to these people. Definitely, definitely.
Because you never split up.
Exactly.
You just went away for a little bit.
Well, yeah, as far as I were concerned, yeah.
Well, Louis, the song is absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
Two of us, obviously, available now. Really, really powerful message. Congratulations on doing so well.
Thank you, mate.
And we look forward to the album later this year, and also you having to call up Simon Cowell and saying, mate, I'm not coming back to your show.
We'll see. All right, cheers.
Thank you. Louis Tomlinson there. We went deep, and yeah, we did go a little bit personal. And if you did enjoy that interview with Louis Tomlinson and you're a 1D fan, then do subscribe to the podcast because you can listen to my previous interviews with Niall Horan and Liam Payne
totally free. And also, if you subscribe, then you'll get the next episode with whichever A-lister I might have as soon as it becomes available. Recent interviews there from Celine Dion and Dolly Parton. But it was a girl band member, actually, on our last pod, the adorable Emma Bunton from the Spice Girls. And she revealed a lot about this forthcoming Spice Girls reunion and why Victoria Beckham isn't taking part. I had a huge reaction to this interview. Idris messaged in to say, thanks, Dan Wilson, for that Emma Bunton interview. So many spicy questions and everything real fans want to know. Now I can't wait for the Spice Girls tour. I also said that Emma is pretty much the most adorable celebrity operating right now. And Sam Watts agreed. She said, Emma really is the loveliest superstar you could hope to meet, and this interview proves it. I totally agree. I'd love to hear from your feedback, actually, about Louis' interview, too. What do you think? Will One Direction ever reform? Should he bury the hatchet with Zayn Malik? So just leave your feedback on my social media. You can find me at Dan Wotton on Twitter, on Facebook, and of course on Instagram as well. And as I say, do subscribe to the podcast. It's totally free. And then when I'm back with my next interview, you'll get an alert and it will download and everything immediately wherever you happen to get your podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. Thank you to Louis Tomlinson, and I'll speak to you very soon.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.